Space, the final frontier. Space Station Ashlyn sits on the edge of Federation space with its companion ship, the USS Delamis Christian. The space around them is full of mystery and strange wonders, where secrets are kept and danger lurks around every corner. The crew of the Delamis Christian must navigate treacherous waters as they work to protect the Federation. But as they peer into the unknown, they will discover that the line between friend and foe is not always clear. They will be tested like never before, and will face challenges that will push them to their limits. Join us on this adventure as we explore the farthest reaches of space and uncover the hidden truths that lie within the shadows. Tabletop Journeys presents Star Trek: Preservations.
Welcome, travelers. I'm Lee Wanika of Tabletop Journeys, and we are here today with the cast and crew of Star Trek Preservations. We are about to begin our ninth episode in season two, entitled Sleeping Tigers. To get us started without a whole lot of preamble, because I'm excited for this adventure and I know the crew's excited to get playing as well, we are going to start with our quick introductions of our crew. I'm going to start in rank order on the ship, and we'll cycle through the crew members we have with us today.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joe Harney, and I am the commanding officer of the USS Delamis Christian, Commander Sabian Tobor.
Hi, I'm Adam Scaramella, and I portray Ocean Jilrazur, the Delamis Christian's first officer.
I'm David Rideout. I play Avidian Tanari, the Andorian chief engineer of the Delamis Christian, and currently the engineering crew is on high alert because someone replaced the Star Trek replicators with the Stargate replicators.
That's creepy.
Hi, my name is Lacey Knutson, and I'm playing Narilla Nilan, the curious scientist of the Delamis Christian.
Excellent. Typically, a member of our cast and crew is Lieutenant Najjar, played by Glenn Myers, unable to join us this particular session, but we will weave that into the narrative as we go. As I said, I am Lee Wanika, your storyteller, your GM for this fabulous adventure, and we're going to get going. We begin today's adventure with the Delamis Christian moving at standard cruising speed throughout their sector en route to a location about to be disclosed. Captain Tobor, would you be kind enough to open the mission with your captain's log?
Certainly. Captain's log, stardate 57914.0463. After debriefing at Ashlyn Station, we were on our way to Solon Force for some much-needed shore leave when we received word of a communications signal with a code that dated back to the pre-Federation NX-01 refit class of ships, coming from an off-limits star system in the Illyrian sector. As the Delamis Christian is the closest ship, therefore we have been diverted to investigate. While being warned by both Commodore Pritchard and Starfleet Command to be cognizant of the Prime Directive with concern with the systems and its native population, I guess Solon will have to wait to welcome us another day after all.
Excellent. Everybody's in the middle of their day. We're starting sometime just after noon on the given day. We are approximately a month or so after our last session, so some time has passed. As stated in the captain's log, debriefs have been done. Everything is mission good. Word from the outpost that you were last at is good. They're making good use of the space, and their mission carries on in much better capacity thanks to the efforts of your crew. Aslan Station is also doing very well. Work that Lieutenant Nealon and Lieutenant Tanari had done with Aslan Station Aegis teams to improve the station's sensor array and upgrade its capabilities to match elements of the Dalamas Christian have proven to be successful. Despite some worries on the part of our dear lieutenants, nothing more has come from some of the information that may have inadvertently been hinted at during those interactions. But you do find that those two particular engineers are often, when you're on station, around taking notes, asking questions, basically getting your thought processes on various things, not related to just sensors. They just like the way you think and act and handle business. They are trying to emulate your careers. At this time, as you said, we're on way for shore leave. We open after the captain's log with a pan to the bridge. The captain has already given the order to divert towards the Alarian sector, towards the system in question, to go ahead and investigate that signal. Captain, the bridge is yours.
Very good. Mr. Chai-Zilra, what do we know about this signal?
Not much. We only know that it's coming from a ship that is clearly out of service.
Any idea? Any thoughts on why? Do we know, first off, do we know which ship? Or just that it's an NX class coded?
If I can help here, the timing of your captain's log and the timing of this conversation are moments away, not even minutes, moments. You literally finish your captain's log from your bridge chair because you just got the word that the signal came in.
In my ready room, I walk out, I helm, divert course to Mark 387 Mark 52-14. So we're got a signal from the Illyrian sector. It's been a while since any one of us have been out this far. Bridge to engineering.
Engineering here.
Mr. Tanari, we are headed into the Illyrian sector to investigate an unknown signal of pre-Federation origin. I want our shields double-checked, run a level 2 diagnostic on weapons, shields, and engine systems while we're en route.
We'll have it done, sir.
Very good. Bridge to Science Lab 1.
This is Science Lab.
Lieutenant Nealon, hate to take you away from your anthropological studies, but we've got an old-style Federation signal. Hoping you and your team can analyze it, clean it up a bit, see what you can find out about its origins, its who sent it, when it was sent, why it was sent, all that fun jazz.
Yes, sir. I'm on it right away.
Very good.
So I will be immediately when I find out that it is an NX class. This is a hobby of mine, these old obscure starships. So I will start looking through my information on the NX classes to get the schematics, the number of ships, any information that we can that's historically available about where these ships were last seen, whether they were actively retired or whether any of them were lost.
Mr. Charlie Rosler, don't get me wrong. Since we recently recovered the Atlantis from that time-dilated wormhole, I was under the impression that every NX ship was accounted for, either destroyed in the Romulan Earth War or retired or refurbished. And I'm not aware of any NX that are unaccounted for. But so, run that down for me, won't you?
If it's any consolation, and I apologize if I gave a slightly off impression, it is not that the signal is coming from an NX. It is coming from a ship from the NX time frame. So it's a pre-Galactic Federation. It's an Earth Federation starship, that time frame, but it was built around the time of the NX-01 refit. But it is not an NX-01 refit.
Okay. Yeah, we'll let that information come out and...
Given that, what I'd be looking into are ships of the era that either could have made that trip, because most of those ships did not have that level of range, or again, ships that were lost in that era. I'm suspecting that we're dealing with a
traitor
or something.
This is a Warp 5 program, the NX, pre-NX, that limits to Warp 4. Doing the math on that a little bit. Warp 4 at best speed takes a few months to get across to 20 light year sector. We're about 10, 20, 30, 40, 70 light years away from Earth. This thing would have taken quite a bit to get all the way out here at maximum speed, let alone warp 1, warp 2. We're talking decades upon decades to get all the way out here.
Absolutely correct. As far as the timing, it would have been quite a while for the ship of that era that are not an NX-01 or its later ships or its refit. Absolutely would have been darn near forever at maximum speed, and whether or not they would have had the ability to stay fueled long enough to do so. And nothing on Earth at the time would have had anything out this far mapped, bearing in mind that the Federation met the Tholians around the time of Kirk, almost 100 years after that ship would have been moving into this general range. So it would have been quite a trip to get here. So definitely valid ways to look at the issue.
Very good. And then also, I'm going to start looking in with comms and such on the star system and which the signal's coming from, and what can we get from long-range sensors.
Excellent. All right. So in no particular order other than it's the order in which the captain chose to speak with his senior staff, we're going to go with engineering. A level 2 diagnostic, if you're doing it and you're just taking the regular time over time, there's really not a specific role that needs to be made. It is something that's standard operating procedure. You will have about a week or more unless the CO determines he wants to pick up the speed to just get a level 2 diagnostic done. So I'm not going to have you roll at this point. But if during the course of this scene, the captain says, uh-oh, this is super critical, we need to get their maximum warp so they pick up that pace, then I might have you roll. Depending on what that pace might be, that will determine the difficulty and potential complications with completing that diagnostic in time. So at this point, your staff is beginning the process under normal operating procedures with no particular issues or concerns of note.
So considering that it's routine, can I get another roll in as far as enhancing the sensors with the Epsilon protocols?
Absolutely.
And what's our starting threat?
That's an even better question. Give me one second to bring that up as well.
Only 8 today.
Our starting threat. One second. I got everything else I needed except for my threat. And
Joe, doesn't that mean 0 threat then?
Yes, that's exactly what it means.
So while he's getting that, I was geeking out in the background looking at some of the old Enterprise content on Star Trek Alpha. And we can limit their speed. Not that it's critical to the conversation, but the NX program helped them break the barrier that they had with Warp 2. So they had a leapfrog event. So most of the ships in that era probably would have only gone like 2.
So Enterprise, the NX-1, was actually the Warp 5 program.
Yes.
In this show. And it was the state-of-the-art hot stuff, right? So,
right.
So most of the fleet was probably Warp 4, Warp 3 max. Civilians were probably Warp 2, Warp 3.
I believe Lewinick also said the NX-01 refit class was probably a little after the end of most of Enterprise.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the content that's online, and that's what they're
talking
about.
Again, like the way a civilian technology kind of lags behind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? We didn't get Velcro until 10 years after NASA did.
I will say that it is definitively Earth Federation. They did mention that it was Federation technology.
Yeah.
Don't you mean however many years?
Starfleet technology, correction. Sorry.
Don't you mean we got Velcro only after so many years after Carbon Creek?
Yes. That's why I referenced it. NASA. Mm-hmm. Wandering all of those alien technologies into the system. Okay, so if we're going about warp 6 and we're going half a sector, that puts us about 19.8 days. I don't see any reason to put any stress on the engines. Do you, Mr. Chirilzer?
It's not a distress call, so no.
Yeah. Now, here's the... Once we get the report back from sensors, I don't know if this is coming from Illyria proper or in the sector, and that's a 20 cubic light year volume of space to search for this signal. And also, why now? I know we're... There's not too much traffic out here, but obviously someone from Illyria would have received this signal and maybe have called someone in the Federation. Hey, come pick up your 150-year-old space trash. Unless it just started. And then
someone turned something on.
See, Najjar's busy in his office, so I got to be the ultra paranoid one for the moment.
Actually, along those lines, Najjar has actually stayed on Aslan Station. He's running down some leads on Janook on behalf of the investigations you had asked him to follow up on. You have a junior security person that has been temporarily assigned to your team who happens to be Alana.
I want Alana still then as.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. So Alana is now acting chief of security. And to fill the vacant space, you have a junior security officer, an ensign, Ogdo.
Ogdo?
A-G-D-O, who is a Zindi primate. And for the purposes of, should we have to make any roles for that individual, you would simply utilize the standard Federation security officer.
Supporting character it is.
Yep. And obviously, Zindi has not been updated for second edition, but we can use the species talent accordingly for Zindi primate. So you have your full complement or number of security staff. Najjar is not on board tracking down that lead. I will do a quick check with Glenn at a future date to handle their investigations into Janook issues while he runs down those leads. So, and in answer to some of the questions that were bandied about, when you get back, you'll get some more specifics. We'll get to that in a moment as far as the signal, when it started, where specifically it is. All of that stuff will definitely be in that section of information.
Perfect. I was mostly just filling time.
Yep. No worries. All right. And I found all my tokens. My office rearranging was challenging, to say the least. So we're starting with, on this one, standard threat of 2 per player. So we have 8 total to begin for threat.
I really am going to put this one into the universe. I hope the first 2E supplement is a Utopia Planitia-style book of Federation species. With the new species abilities and everything, all 2E.
I fully support that being in the universe. I think the interesting thing is that it is likely, whatever it is going to be, it is already in production. So there's not much we're going to be able to do to sway opinions, but we should all celebrate that on the various groups so that hopefully if it is not, it will be in the next the next swath that follows that. Because I think that is absolutely the way. If you're not going to do the books, then what you can do is a book that's just, here are some species to use, and you can add some extra rules, some extra life path stuff. All kinds of good things could come from that.
New equipment. All the blog posts on how to play the core species that the Modifius has been doing amazingly on their website leads me to believe that they had a bunch of content that couldn't make it into the book, which is primed for a standalone product.
Yep. Agreed. Let's see. Where were we? We have 8 threat. Dave, you were going to be rolling. I was going to be bringing up the extended tasks for the seasons.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And all I had managed to do was find my threat momentum dice. I bet you would have preferred if I did that in the opposite direction and just kept on trucking with no threat, huh? Let's see. Season-long extended tasks. And so we are on the Epsilon functionality, external ship sensors. All right, gotcha. Where we are currently with this particular task is as follows. It is a difficulty 3. There is 2 resistance. There is a 3 magnitude. We have already had 1 breakthrough, which means the hardware installation had already been completed. And we are working towards our 2nd breakthrough, which would be testing and integration. We are currently 2 pips away from that 2nd breakthrough. And we have, there is a work track of 15, by the way. And so we are at 8 total work completed on this track. So with that said, how would you like to approach your role for the testing and integration section of this process?
Okay, so I think Najar, I'm not on the ship. I can't have him fire phasers at me while I'm working, so I can't use daring. So I think reason engineering is my best bet.
Okay, fair enough.
And then I believe, since we're still on first edition rules, my engineering team reduces the difficulty by 1.
That is true.
That's difficulty 2, and then we will have the ship for an assist, correct?
That is also true.
All right, so I will spend a threat for an additional dice.
Okay, got it.
All right, yeah, none of my focuses come in on this, so I got a 6, a 5, and a 17, so that's 2 successes.
All right.
And I will not reroll the 17, so I'm liable to get a 20.
All right. And XO, would you care to roll for the ship? And Joe, if you would be kind enough to tell us our target number for this as well.
Yes. Sensors engineering is going to be a 12.
Excellent.
I rolled a 5.
Excellent. So that will be an additional success. That brings us to 3. What is the DC's engineering?
1. So it's not a critical.
Not a critical. Okay, excellent. So we have enough successes, no momentum gained. And would you care to roll your challenge
Actually,
dice?
The difficulty was reduced to 2 because of the engineering crew, so we've got an additional
momentum. I stand corrected. We will add a momentum to the pool. We are at 1 and 9. Good call.
And I will use the bonus momentum I got from the Andorian Intense to, what's the term, Joe? Piercing or...
Yes, piercing is...
Yeah, piercing to eliminate resistance.
Right.
Or reduce the resistance by 2.
And how many D6s do I roll for...
2 plus your engineering rating.
Let's see. All right. 1, 2, 2, 2, and 2 deltas.
4, 6, 7, 8. That's 9, if I'm doing the math right.
Yes, I believe you are.
And we had 8 work track left on the 15-point track. We scrape through all the work, get a breakthrough, and then you have 5 or more successes. That's a double breakthrough. That should be enough to complete the challenge, Lee.
Yep.
If I'm looking at my notes here correctly.
Yeah, you were at 8, so 9 brings you over 15. So, yeah, that is definitely going to close out the challenge. You have done the testing and integration very well. Your level of experience and your team's level of experience, and you work this team pretty hard. I'm not talking like a slave driver kind of hard, but they go through their paces. They are building a reputation for excellence and experience that is to be lauded and is being noted. The testing and integration phase goes really well. In addition to that, just the close work that your group has been doing with the science team under the direction of Lieutenant Neela has given your engineers a lot of insight into the scientific method, the scientific process. So just the ability to document and do things in a very methodical way. Not that engineers don't do that, but it is less of this has always worked and this should always work, and more of a let's think this through before we act on it has eliminated a lot of trial and error, which is why your team is being so efficient, because they're working through the idea before they implement the physical testing in most, if not all, cases. So you definitely have that. As far as final calibration, all tests seem green. The big test is going to be when you get to a place and you have the ability to actually confirm there's a known Epsilon entity in a place. And so that would be the kind of situation where it might become much more critical to see. Everything tests the way it should based on all simulations, all models. The DC computer absolutely says this is going to work. You've done a good job. DC specifically says the engineering group has done a good job, and they as a whole are to be lauded.
So for all intents and purposes, the task is done. We just need to test it in the field.
Absolutely.
All right, I will pass this on to the captain.
All right, and from there,
I will also want to put commendations in each of the engineering crew's files for their hard work on this.
Excellent. And they all, in part, they're pretty proud of themselves and what they've been able to accomplish, especially under the circumstances. While it's been an ongoing thing that's been taking a while with some of the events that the ship and the crew have been through, to still have their eye on the ball and get these things done, is they're pretty impressed. So we're very happy with being a part of this crew and specifically a part of your team. All right. From there, we're going to go right on to signal cleanup. So we're looking at Lieutenant Nealon in the science department. You have the information as far as the signal itself at your disposal. You and your team, basically, the ball is yours.
We need to clean it up first, and also hoping to get some coordinates of exactly where it's coming from and what it's saying, which will answer all the other questions.
Excellent. Overall, it's a fairly easy signal to decipher. It has some weird coding, and it's only weird because it's old. So old that if you can imagine that kids who use like some really archaic in kindergarten code, that's actually fairly easy for any computer to break. But if you're an adult and you're looking at it for the first time, it's like, what is this gibberish? That's how your computer system is looking at this. This should be easy, but for some weird reason, it's not, because it's so old. It's like nobody would ever do this anymore. So it's almost like remembering the kinds of things that used to be done so that you can go back to it, right? And so that's what is happening. It's still a very easy task. You've got amazing computers and you've got an entirely brilliant staff, so it's only going to be a difficulty of one to do this. Overall, your difficulty for this task is a one, but your crew has the opportunity to potentially get some additional information if you specifically reach three.
All right.
But as far as momentum is concerned, the key number and success is concerned, the key number is one.
Oh, no, the key number is definitely three. We want all the information we can get at all times. All right. Yeah. Would this be a science reason, probably?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Can I use... I think one of my talents is that I can use the computers. Is that true?
I believe so. I think I don't have your sheet in front of me right at the moment, but...
What's the name of the talent, Lacey?
I have Science Officer and Bold Science are the two talents that I think might be relevant.
Science Officer is your role, and let me check real quick on a character starting equipment. I think you get an extra momentum if you're being assisted by the computer.
Yeah, the ship's computer. That sounds about right.
Character role, science officer.
All right, when the science officer succeeds at a task assisted by the ship's computers or sensors, the character generates one bonus momentum?
Yep.
Okay. Would this be considered a task that uses a scientific method?
Absolutely.
Okay. So unconventional thinking. So I'm experimenting with some old code and some old ways of looking at this. And so that's the difficulty of the tasks are reduced by one. But All that right. says I guess that's not so straightforward, because it says it should be noted that players are not aware of the fact they're pursuing an outside-the-box hypothesis under normal circumstances. So I guess I'll leave that up to you, and I'll just roll.
I'm fine with it. Yeah, that sounds like a weird... I get what they're going for, that narratively I'm supposed to know about it, so that I just say, okay, you're successful, and give you that benefit. There's a weird loop when you do that, I think, if I'm reading that correctly.
The issue is that that's an unconverted 1E talent, because the scientific method as a system has been removed and replaced.
We'll revisit that as we get into 2E proper next season, but definitely take note of that. But for right now, I'm fine with that. Yeah, because that sounds like one of those things that they tried to fix up, like any of those weird feedback loop type of interactions they were trying to work out of the system, and we just highlighted another great quality of life correction. So that works.
Okay, so going back, so I'm rolling two dice, right? Can I buy a D20 with bold science? And how I want to do that is I want to risk following the code following the signal, which is risky because it might ping the other side.
Okay. I'm down with that. That makes a lot of sense. I'm going to go ahead and drop a threat for that. Good job.
I'm just throwing paint at the wall. I never know if I'm doing something crazy or acceptable. All right.
That is how the DC rolls, I think.
So I'm going to use the bold science to reroll my 15. And that's 3 successes. A 3, 5, and a 6.
Excellent. And what is your science role?
What is my...
Your science department, what is that?
Like, what is my... 15?
What's your score in your science division?
Your science score on your character sheet.
My science is 4.
Okay. So 5...
Sorry.
And you said you rolled a 3...
5 and 6.
Okay, so the 3 counts as 2 successes. Because you have a focus that would apply here, correct? I actually should ask that question first.
I'm actually not sure. So I have chemistry, astrophysics, virology, PPE gear, development, xenobiology, forensic science, and epsilon species detection.
No. Okay, so 3 successes. Given that, that's going to bring you to 3 total momentum. And you will get the base answer as well as the deeper answer, and no complication.
And a bonus question.
Yeah, and you get a bonus question. So the base question is, or base answer to what you're doing is, this is from an older ship, fairly small for modern day standards, 2380s, smaller than the DC, but on the bigger side for that time frame, but smaller than the NX series of ships. It still, from a mechanical standpoint, is a class 3 ship based on its beam and size, but it is significantly smaller. So for example, the Raven style starship that Annika Hansen, 709, her family had, is a size 3, or somewhere between 2 and 3. This ship is slightly bigger than a Raven, but significantly smaller than a Saber. So it is big for its era, but it is small for this era. It was an exclusively military ship. In fact, it's the type of ship that was used by the Makos, and is a combination troop transport for a platoon size element, and it usually flew alongside of whatever ship it was escorting. It was brand new and in its testing cycles towards the beginning of the Earth-Romulan War, right as that was starting. But that's the style of ship, and it is known as, it actually has an NX designation, but it's an NX-14M.
Real quickly.
Yes.
Did you mean to say battalion or regimental sized element?
Nope.
Platoon. Is it a platoon like 10 guys?
Nope. A squad would be 10 to 12. A platoon would be 4 squads, generally. 3 to 4 squads. So, basically has a crew of about 40 or so.
Seems like a big ship for... big scale ship for that few troops. But
yeah. It's about the size of a saber from a crew complement size, 40 folks, but they're almost all non-crew types. Those are all the troops. It would have its own crew, but those would be the troops that it carries.
Well, troops and vehicles and equipment, stuff like that as well, correct?
Exactly. I would also add that this was a ship that maintained, like you said, equipment and such like that. In and of itself, it was not a design that went very far, because obviously the Makos were done away with by the end of the Earth-Romulan War and the formation of the Federation itself, when Earth rolled Starfleet into the Federation and Starfleet became a galactic organization. Makos were basically disbanded and or folded into security elements in various ways. So this design, which was designed specifically for the Makos and being tested at the beginning of the Earth-Romulan War, basically fell out of favor and was dropped because it was considered a purely military vessel. So there's not a lot of them that were known. There's not a lot of them that were made. They did not have a very storied or famous history as a general rule, but that's where they are. As far as the signal goes, you know what type of ship it came from. You understand why the code is the way it is. It is an automated signal. That's the other information that you get from reaching 3. It's an automated signal that is indicating that it's actually just transmitting, and it should not be. So the fact that it's transmitting out is actually a bit of an error in its system, because what it's supposed to be doing is sending a wake-up signal to some aftermarket add-ons to the ship. And now you get a bonus question.
Can I ask some clarification first? So,
absolutely.
When you say it's indicating it's a wake up to, it's not supposed to be doing this, what makes me believe that it's not supposed to be transmitting? Is it because I don't know that there's that aftermarket stuff there, or?
What makes you realize that it is not supposed to be doing this is the fact that it's basically a signal that is not verbal in nature. It is to a separate computer system within the vessel, but somehow or another, it's very clear that it has somehow crossed up with their external communications. So while it's communicating internally to its ship, it is also duplicating that signal out. And that's what lets you know that it's not inadvertent. And the way it's doing that is indicative of a design change or something being done, maybe something jury-rigged or something like that. So it's more like somebody got a complication 200 years ago and went ahead with what they were doing without realizing what that complication was.
Okay, so can I relay information to the captain, and then if he has a follow-up question, use that as the bonus question I can ask, or is that outside of the way this works?
I think on face value, the answer is absolutely yes. You could always be in communication within your ship, and certainly with your CO and your executive team, about information you're finding as you're finding it. I would offer this one thing. If there's any piece of it that you are extra questioned or concerned about, that would probably be where your bonus question comes in. And then any questions that anybody else would have, that's where you might want to go with a momentum spend for those. Because yours is about your curiosity, and the things that spark your interest. Narratively speaking, I would ask your question first, and then you have the ability to momentum spend for anybody else. If you don't have an extra question, you can certainly do that.
I think the thing that I'm, and I may have misunderstood how it works, so I'm unsure if my question makes sense, but we know that it's automated, or I'm seeing that it's an automated signal that was maybe triggered accidentally. Is there a way to tell, has it been repeating for a long time? Or is it something that's new?
It is definitely something that's new. It started probably 10 hours ago, basically just before your ship picked it up, and then Aslan Station picked it up and got it. So signals transmit in weird ways. So there's a lot of subspace relays outside of the system in question and in this area of space. And because of that, it got to Aslan Station and they were able to decipher it. It would have been picked up as noise by the DC because it had nothing to do, nothing mission specific. Nothing would have tripped you off because this is literally a signal from the ship's main computer telling another computer that's in not shutdown mode, what's the word I'm looking for, mode, to wake up, right? And that is being repeated. So a random signal saying end sleep mode, warm up system XYZ isn't really going to trip the Dalamas Christian sensors, especially where DC himself and everything else that's going on is very focused on very specific mission parameters that are not covered by this issue. So it really, it, you guys would have had it also, and your, and part of your process and your test would have been comparing the data given to you by Aslan Station with the data your ship also picked up to figure this out. And your ability to tell the timing is because effectively you're triangulating the time it got to the DC to the time it got to Aslan Station, based on the time that Aslan Station notified you. That tells you how old the signal is, how slow it's being sent, and therefore you can process its general time frame. So you're gathering all this information as part of your original test, but basically it's just really minor. It's just an automated thing. It was never meant to go out into the world. It's an internal thing altogether. What's really concerning is that now that you have this information is if it's broadcasting out with technology that is that old, is also broadcasting from within a system that is pre-warp and nobody in the Federation is supposed to be in, that could potentially create a breach of the Prime Directive or provide a pre-warp society with additional tech that they should absolutely not have any connection with.
Okay.
So that would be so your question.
As soon as I work all that all through, I'll contact the commander and share that I have found out information about the unknown and old signal.
So my follow-up momentum question then, Lee, would be, do we have a triangulation on the close enough to the signal's origin that we can follow it back?
You don't even need a momentum spend for that. Yes, the answer is absolutely, you can follow it back. You can get to the location. They actually knew the location is within the system. Getting to where in the system, that would require the momentum spend. So if you want that level of detail, then I would take the momentum to provide that. Okay. Momentum spend accepted. The answer to that question is on the third planet in the inner system, which is IL-47. That is the system, the specific system that is off limits by Federation standards. Because the area is close but not in Federation control, not much is done with it. But even societies that don't agree with the Federation's non-intervention policies, oddly, many of them do tend to, unless they're trying to expand into a territory. It's like, why bother dealing with the hassle? If you do it wrong and you're not trying to conquer a bunch of people, you could just end up ticking off a bunch of people that later on use your own crap against you, right? So unless you've got a government that is all into abusive relationships, essentially, it just doesn't make sense for people to intervene where they don't need to. Space is vast. Why go where it's not? Why deal with a population that you don't have to thing?
But also, I imagine the Federation has a frowny face policy on anyone who would do something like that, and having negative relations with the Federation isn't worth that, because it was an interesting listening to Aaron Pollier on Continuing Missions talk about the economic Prime Directive of like how in a post-scarcity thing, you don't just flood the galaxy with stuff. But yeah, I could very much see the like Federation, like for the smaller polities or any other polity, you're just like, we have this Prime Directive. It's super important to us. If you want to be our friends, you need to respect our values.
Yeah, I'm sure it's part and parcel with any trade deal. You want to do business with the Federation. You want our dilithium, or you want our replicator tech. That's wonderful. Guess what you have to agree to not do? And heaven help you if we catch you doing it. All of a sudden, our tech comes back, or we put down the shutdown code so you don't get to use them anymore, or whatever the case may be.
Puts a paywall on a bomb.
Exactly. How very Ferengi. But let's see here. So that is the system. Specifically, it is a system. The populace of that system refers to themselves as the Maldonian. And I will spell that for you. M-A-L-D-O-N-I-A. Yep. That is the name of the species as the Federation understands it from listening to their signals. This is a society. Their homeworld is the second interplanet, Class M world. They are a humanoid species. And aside from some facial feature distinctions, there's some patterned pigmentation on their faces and hands and legs and arms. They are, from what little the Federation has studied them, not too dissimilar to humans. And if they are divergent, it is not something they've been able to determine. They would be similar to the kind of divergence one would see in the Beta Zed or other standard humanoid species, but no extreme environmental issues like the Andorians or the Vulcans and such like that. You had a question, Joe?
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's their understood tech level?
I was actually about to go there. So as far as tech level, they are somewhere around the overall tech of the late 20s. Their technology is expected to be somewhere, they would expect them to be warp capable within the next 50 to 100 years, depending on other things. The biggest concern is the fact that they are a planet of roughly 5 billion. The planet size is larger than Earth, but they are roughly 5 billion. They do have one external colony on one of their moons, which is also a Class M world. It's smaller. It's not a Class M world. I forget the designation. I think it's Class K, something that could be terraformed. But it's a much
L or K, depending on
how. Which direction. But they have excavated and made domed and internal cities within the crust of that moon. So they are exceptionally spacefaring. They do have craft that can take off and land, go through exit atmosphere, enter atmosphere. So they're beyond the technology that we have in real world Earth today by a good margin, but they are just have not achieved warp yet. What is known by the Federation, which is why they don't have a lot of information, is they are exceptionally good at sensor construction, development, and technology beyond what Earth had at its time, probably closer to what Earth had in the days just before the NX program. So they are very good at sensors. So because of that, but their sensors are limited by some other factors. So they are not particularly good at sensing things outside of their system. So the Federation can't do duck blinds. You can't just fly a starship into the system. In fact, realize is they are very good at detecting energy signatures. So anything that's warp capable entering their system will be picked up by them. They may not know what they're looking at, but they will definitely know that something has entered their system. Their satellite network and their exploration of their system is good enough where they do have sensor arrays and things like that at various points. So the only way to get to this planet is by non-warp means.
Excellent. I send all that stuff down to engineering.
And that was that momentum spend. Anything else dealing with the signal information?
And Lee, real quick, you said the signal was coming from the third planet. They're on the second planet in the moon, but likely because they have spacefaring and the signal started, they're going to probably go check it out. I'm going to accelerate us to maximum warp because now we're under a time pressure that this signal's been going on for this long.
Allow me to amend a statement. The signal is coming from their homeworld.
So from the third planet, or the second planet.
Correct.
So it's on their planet.
Yep, on their homeworld.
Bummer. Okay.
So, yep, you have to go into the lion's den, as it were.
All right. Senior staff to the conference room.
All right. And assuming that many of these things are happening at the same time, you're going to get that word, but we're going to go on to the XO's bit here before the senior staff meeting is called, because XO, you were looking to get some more information on the ship and its origins and what you might be able to know, so you can add that to any discussion that comes up in conference with the rest of the team. I would definitely say with your trait, it's going to make this a little bit easier. With the information that you already have, I would say this is going to be down to a 1 from where it originally started to get the details on this particular ship.
Okay. So let's see. We are looking at trying to figure out the attribute for this one, because I think it would be reason, but I can't place where it would be for.
It's a great question. As far as
doesn't really fit into any real category. That's the ship's name right now.
I would say possibly engineering.
Yeah, I was about to land on engineering and reason, which is not my strong suit, but you know what?
It's a pastime, so that makes sense.
Yep. Let's see. Engineering and reason's not that bad. And engineering isn't that bad. Okay, so I have an 11 on that and don't have any talents that would immediately present itself. What are we at for threat?
For threat, you're at 10.
Okay. I'm going to buy another die with the momentum.
Excellent. Down to 1 momentum.
Okay. I got 3 successes. None of them are a critical.
All right.
So I will, hang on just a sec. I have the intent ability. So let's see. I will generate a bonus momentum, but it can't be saved.
Okay. So, let me give you the base information, and then you let me know how you want to use that non-savable, and then you can make decisions about the other 2 that you generated.
Okay.
Or other 3 that you generated, right?
Two out of three.
One of the things you do know is that this is a ship that was known to ferry a platoon that has come to historically be known as the Lost Platoon. The ship itself, the name kind of lost to history, because while there weren't many of them, they all had NX designations, 2 of which were destroyed in battle, 1 or 2 of which just basically got old and stopped being used. None ever went to any kind of museums, and they were never particularly named. They basically considered them like giant military shuttles. They weren't craft as much as they were personnel carriers. It was big APCs in space is basically the way to describe these ships. Now, different units were probably known to have nicknames for their ship, and the Lost Platoon referred to theirs as the Sleeping Tiger, kind of a take on the whole Mako is a type of shark kind of thing. So that's where they gathered the name. So it had a nickname, but it didn't have an official designation. They didn't have registry numbers on them of any note or merit. More importantly, you do know a little bit about the unit, in that they were originally, when they were lost, near the Romulan neutral zone, so very far away from where they are now. And there was some mission that they were on, and that's really all that you knew from lore. It's basically one of those old Flying Dutchman kind of stories where over years, everybody will talk about some ancient ship, ghost ship, that floats nearby a system, but then wasn't really there or what have you. But nobody's really sure. It's probably rumor, things pirates will say to explain their activities. It's never been given a whole lot of credence. Certainly no official searches have been done, though Starfleet did conclude they were LIA, lost in action, after a 10-year point in time where they had not made contact with them in any meaningful way.
Okay. All right. So the first question, and Brain sees. It is one momentum for a gathering additional information?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So the first additional question that I would ask is, do we have a sense of, is it possible to figure out what those aftermarket additions would have been added on?
With your momentum spend, you would not be able to tell what they are, but what I will give you is how you and your overall crew could find out. Because you're going from your lore and your stuff with ships, these items were not native to this ship, but or do not appear to be. There's nothing in your information would indicate there's any automated system that would need to be woken up, right? That seems odd based on what you know of these ships. They're very Spartan. They're troop transports. They tend to operate near other starships or near star bases to hit hotspots, things like that. Basically, it was after the Zindi War and in the run-up to the Romulan War, the folks in charge of the Makos wanted to be less dependent on Starfleet to ferry them to a given theater of operation, so they thought they could do it on their own. The program was a failure. They needed better expertise, and when Starfleet joined the Federation, they wanted a less military profile. So that's where the program went down. So there's nothing you would be able to find, but what you do know is if the signal was waking that up, you should be able to utilize that same information to specifically search for what it was waking up. So you would know that how to do it, but you wouldn't have access to that information on your own.
As far as the history of the ship, I can't think of any specific questions that I would have about it. So I guess we'll just bank the other two momentum.
Okay, sounds good. With that, the CEO calls for everybody to meet in the conference room.
Senior staff to the conference room.
And with that, we are going to end the scene.